Well, our sermon text for today is found in Matthew chapter 18. We're going to be looking at verses 21 through 35. Matthew 18, 21 through 35. And if you would stand as we read from God's holy word. And I read in the name of our Lord Jesus. Then Peter came up and said to him, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times." Or yours may read 70 times seven times. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, 'Pay what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' He refused and went out and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers," or yours again may read torturers, "until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your holy word. And we thank you for this account of your conversation with Peter and those present. And we ask, Lord, that you would speak also to our hearts and that we would receive your word and that your Holy Spirit would stir in us to lead us to repentance, that we might not hold on to any unbelief or rebellious spirit, but Lord, that we would look to you and your mercy and be grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. I'm titling this message today, Paying Your Debts. And as we look at it, we're going to see there's two main sections. There's the initial discourse that Jesus has with Peter, and it's centering around this question, essentially, how many times should I forgive? And then next, we're going to look at this parable that Jesus shares to describe the situation and to try to help drive this home. And we'll break that down into the three different sections that it is in. The first, the situation with the servant, the insurmountable debt of the servant, and then the compassion of the Lord, and then that same servant showing no mercy. So first, this discourse with Peter. Peter asks this question, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" How many times should we forgive someone? You know, we mentioned in the children's message that it was common for people, religious leaders in that day, to think that three or four was a good number of times we should give somebody forgiveness, and we can relate that with baseball. It seems like a good number, three chances, and then you're done. And Peter suggests seven, and it seems that he thinks that that is really generous. "As many as seven, Lord? And if you can think about it, if somebody sinned against you, same sin probably, seven different times, you'd probably start to really lose patience with them, wouldn't you? You do, don't you? I do. And actually, as I think about this, this is something that I think we can all relate to. You see, we actually tend to take a record of wrongs, which, by the way, we're told not to do if we are showing love. In 1 Corinthians 13, love does not keep a record of wrongs, but unfortunately, we do tend to keep a record of wrongs. And we tend to do this with those we dislike or that frustrate us, irritate us, the people that we really are not in a loving, or that we are not loving, and we start to pile these things up against them. And maybe you have somebody in your mind that has hurt you even repeatedly. And sometimes it's very vicious. I mean, unfortunately, we have people in our world that are cruel, repetitively cruel, abusive, just mean. And we are going to sin against one another. By the way, we contribute to this as we sin against our neighbors too. Let's not forget that. But as people sin against us, even if we were patient for a little while, we often run out of forgiveness for these people. A scary thing about this is actually that a lot of times this happens with the people that we love the most or that we are the closest with. And maybe you can think of in your own family too, how it's easy to lose patience with those people that we live with, those people that we interact with daily. It could be a coworker, and every day it's the same thing. You see them a lot, so it comes up a lot, and you could run out of patience with them. But even your own spouse, sometimes we are the least forgiving to our own family and loved ones and our own spouse, the person that we should show the most love to. They start to get on our nerves maybe, or maybe we said last time, I forgive you, but then when it happens again, we said, but you've done this before, but you've done this many times. And then they could rightfully say, but I thought you forgave me, right? We have this tendency to keep a record of wrongs. And part of our motivation behind this is a real lack of love. In fact, it's, I think, hatred or self-righteousness. When we put a limit on how many times we want to forgive somebody, I believe it's because we think that they deserve vengeance. We want revenge. We want justice on them. And it's because we think that we are better than them, and that nobody should be forgiving to that other person anymore. We have a limit on how far we will show mercy and grace. But this is such an interesting thing that Jesus says in response to Peter when he's asked, even seven times, Lord? Jesus says to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times, or 70 times seven times. We're not exactly sure which way he was counting. It was basically addition or multiplication that he was using there. So he was either saying 77 times or 490 times you should forgive. He gives a specific number. And I want to say that the point of this is not actually to say, well, the 78th time or the 491st time you shouldn't forgive. That's not the point. He's giving a real number because it actually has a stronger sense to it than just a fake number might, like if we said infinity times. But when you actually give a large number, it shows how dramatic it is, and that's the point here. Jesus was actually just trying to say, keep forgiving and don't stop. And that's actually a rebuke for those of us who tend to put a limit on this, but it is also the greatest blessing. This is primarily a gracious statement that we should hear and go, wow, thank you, Jesus. because we sin over and over against God. We have committed the same sins against Him repeatedly. And maybe we have even gone to Him many times with these same sins and said, "Lord, I'm sorry, please forgive me." And we may question whether He has run out of patience with us, whether He has a limit to His mercy and grace. But let me tell you the good news, that Jesus does not have a limit to His mercy and grace. He continues to forgive over and over. And the convicting question that comes to mind then is knowing that God is that merciful and gracious to us, would we be less merciful and gracious to other people? Would we rather God start keeping track of records like we are? And actually, that's where Jesus starts to go with this as we move now into the parable that He tells. And let's look at the first portion of this, the situation with this servant. And it's described here that there is a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And so they were going to have to pay up their debts. And when he began to settle, it says in verse 24, one of them was brought to him who owed 10,000 talents. And again, we're a little bit unsure how much this is. I heard that part of the discussion is whether these were silver or gold talents. But when I was looking at even old accounts, so take into account inflation over the past few decades, but several decades ago, people were estimating that this amount of money would be likely in the tens of millions of dollars to the hundreds of millions of dollars, depending on how much each of these was worth. Now, we do have billionaires in our world, but for the average person, which he was speaking to, for you and I, imagine that we suddenly owed even just in the tens of millions of dollars. And the debt collector said, "Pay up now." What could we do? This man could do nothing with that. He had racked up debt like he could not handle in the rest of his lifetime. If he had kept working every single day and even being successful, he would never be able to pay this debt. That's the point of Jesus' story. What was the number we used in the children's message? A quantillion? Okay, his debt was a quantillion to him. It didn't matter even the specific number, because it was so astronomically large that he could never pay it off. And so he had this big debt. And it says in verse 25, since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold into slavery. But not just him. It says with his wife and his children, and all that he had would be liquidated and to pay off this king. This man was now a slave, as good as a slave with his whole family. And he would have absolutely nothing. And this was actually fairly common in those days. They didn't have credit cards or just keep rolling their debts into something else or consolidating them, things like that. But actually, the only option for people, and the just action in this case, would be for someone then to become a slave. And so even though this would still not pay off the king, it would be a just sentence to one with such a great debt. They would give their very life, the rest of their life, and in this case, his whole family's lives, to try to pay off these debts. And it was just. This was not a particularly cruel king. It's not the point. But in verse 26, we see the effect that this had on this man. And it says, the servant fell on his knees, imploring the king, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And he appeals to the compassion of this king and just asks for patience. He doesn't give excuses even here. He just cries out for mercy. And even though he says, "I will pay you everything," there's no way he could. But he was gonna He was going to devote himself to it. And it says next, this king who could have just sent him away and gotten the money for him and his family as slaves and for all of his things being sold. But this man, this king, looks upon this man and it says that he has pity for him. He's moved with compassion and he releases this servant and forgave, canceled his debt entirely. What an amazing thing. Not only did he say, yes, you can continue to work for me, be my employee, be my servant, and continue to stay with your family and live your life and devote yourself to the work, but he actually canceled, wiped out the debt completely. This man went from being a slave with nothing except probably the shirt on his back, and not a nice one, to being debt-free, living with his family, and with a job working for a gracious and merciful king. What a wonderful thing. That was quite the turn in circumstances. And as we think of this, wouldn't you think that the response at this point is just pure gratitude? I mean, wow, what a loving, gracious, and merciful king. Now, this is a powerful thing as we realize that as Jesus is saying this, he's actually referring to God and his mercy for us. What love he has shown to us in Christ. But this man, instead of then what we would expect, an attitude of gratefulness, went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And notice here that it says he went out and found him. It's not like he was even just going about his work and realizing that somebody owed up money and it was time to pay. He actually sought somebody out. He went out to find them who owed him 100 denarii. And again, the numbers here, we're not exactly sure what they would be worth. Years ago, somebody said this would account to about 16 and a half or 16 and two-thirds cents, pennies. Or we could consider this like lunch money, or like you realized, hey, I'm at the lunch line and I'm just a couple bucks short and your friend is there and they say, I'll spot you, or hey, I got it, right? And we're talking a couple bucks, maybe up to $20 would probably be generous on how much this was. Imagine this man had just been forgiven tens of millions of dollars or hundreds of millions of dollars, and now he is cornering this guy who owes him lunch money or spare change, pocket change. And he went out to find him, to squeeze this out of him, and he began to choke him. He threw him up against the wall and began to choke him. What viciousness! This is not gratefulness, this is cruelty. He went so far in showing his anger and his lack of love to this man. And this servant, very much like he had just done with the king, he fell down and pleaded with him and said, have patience with me and I will pay you. You would think this man would realize the situation, but he continues. It says he refused, verse 30, and went and put him into prison until he should pay the debt. This man showed the maximum amount of cruelty in such a foolish and unthinkable way. When someone owes him so little, it would be easy to forgive and move on, not realizing clinging to the memory that he had been forgiven so much more, an unpayable amount. But there were other servants that saw what had taken place, and they reported back to this king who had forgiven so much, this master. And the master now, he summons this servant back, hearing of his cruelty and his lack of mercy. And he says, "And you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in his anger, his master delivered him to the jailers. Or some translations say, another option for this word is torturers. This was even worse than originally when he would have just been a slave with nothing. Now he is actually going to be tormented until he should pay all his debt. And this was just a just penalty for this man. And it's easy to think about how this all works and that this is the just reward for this foolish and unmerciful servant. It's easy to think of it when it's in this story. But look what Jesus does at the very end here. He says, "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." The Lord will do that to every one of us if we do not forgive our brother from our heart. You know, the Lord has shown us such great mercy in forgiving us, even though we have sinned over and over. And our tendency is to put a limit on our forgiveness. Even when we've been forgiven so much, we forget. And we start to hold other people seemingly to a greater standard than we hold ourselves to. You know, one thing that we can think of is, who are the people that you don't want to be forgiven? When you think about them being punished, you delight in it. You're happy about it. How about murderers and rapists, serial killers, Hitler? We love to throw Hitler under the bus, don't we? That guy shouldn't get any mercy from anyone or God ever. I'm not forgiving. Too bad. Right? And we do that with people. Let me tell you that we have sinned against God more than Hitler sinned against people. And yet God has extended his grace to us. We also have even little patience with our own loved ones, our own spouses or family members even. And we would like to see them get punished while we self-righteously stand by and accuse and judge. But you know, when we dwell on the fact that God even forgives our lack of mercy to other people when we cry out to him, we can only say thank you to our Lord. I want to share just in closing here a couple verses from 1 Timothy chapter 1, thinking about the Apostle Paul's testimony. And remember that the Apostle Paul had been a persecutor of Jesus Christ and his church, even being a part of the stoning of Stephen, one of Jesus' trusted followers. But here's what Paul says in 1 Timothy 1, 15 and 16. "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life." You know, we are the worst of all sinners, and yet Jesus Christ has been patient with us, and we are forgiven because of God's mercy and grace. Let us receive that in repentance and faith and be grateful and realize that as we are sinned against on a daily basis, that we can forgive because it's nothing compared to what God has forgiven us for. Let us pray. Well, Lord our God, we thank you for your incredible patience with us, your mercy. Lord, if you were to call us to pay off all of our debts and to make do on everything that we owe, to make right everything that we've done wrong, Lord, we could never do it. But you have chosen to show us mercy, and we thank you. I pray that every day we would live in gratitude for this amazing show of love to us, and that we would forgive others as you have forgiven us. In Jesus' name, amen.